Today we're going to start in Matthew chapter 23, and we have Matthew presenting Jesus as the hater of false teaching. I said we have Matthew presenting Jesus as the hater of false teaching and the enemy of hypocrisy. The hater of false teaching and the enemy of hypocrisy or hypocrites. That's who Jesus is right here. Bless his everlasting name. The Bible says in chapter 23, verse 1, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. I just want y'all to feel that. Whatever he's getting ready to say, he has not pulled anybody to the side. I want you all to walk with me now. Let's work through this. He has not pulled anybody to the side in the corner to keep it secret. It says he spake to the multitude and the disciples. And what did he say? Look at, anybody here ever have a red letter Bible?
Yes.
Just look, how many red letters do you see? Oh, I'm so excited. I tell you, if you really don't know anything about the Bible and you don't really know how to study yet, read the red. Until you get to where you know what you're doing, read the red, okay? Just keep reading the red, and then as you begin to learn what's going on in the Bible, you can always go back and compare that to what you saw in the red, okay? Read the red. And it says, he was saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore they bid you observe, that observe and do, not ye after their words, for they say and do not. Now notice what he's saying. He's saying this to the multitude and to the disciples. He's indicting a whole group of people. Now would you say he's calling out names? I would submit to you that he is, because people know who the Pharisees are. People know who the scribes are, and he's calling them out. Why is that? Because he hates false teachings, and he hates hypocrisy. He said they sit in Moses' seat. The scribes are those that would copy down the law. Often they would explain the law. The Pharisees, as I've said before, the group that was started called the Hasidim, the separated ones, and said, we're going to keep God's law. We're never going to be kicked out of the land again. We're going to do what God has to say. And the people looked up to them, and they honored them. And Jesus said, those people sit in Moses' seat. He would have said in Moshe's seat. What was so special about Moshe's seat, of Moses' seat? Well, we have to think about a man named Raul, Jethro, his father-in-law. He observed Moses one time doing something. The people just kept coming to Moses all day and all day and all day. And the man sat there, it looks like where the scripture talk, he kept his mouth shut and just observed. At the end of the day, Moses had done the work of God. Instead of his father-in-law said, man, the Lord really are using you. Wow, what an important man you are. What Jethro said, what's this you doing? What are you doing with all these people coming back and forth to you all day? This is not good. They're going to wear you out. And I always had a problem with who told him he could tell Moses that. And make the story shorter, God allowed Moses to come up and choose 70 men. And God took the spirit that he had placed on Moses on them, and they became what we would call judges or the Sanhedrin. And their job was, some of them were to hear the complaint with the people in the groups of thousands. Some, if it was too much, groups of hundreds, group of 10. And then if it was too much, come to me. I'm the final one that you come to on this earth right now for judgment when we're dealing with Israel. So the scribes and the Pharisees sit in that seat of judgment. That's a powerful seat. It's not like they save Moses' chair and they take turns sitting in it. It's a little more powerful than that. And Jesus says, all therefore, whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Whatever they tell you that is right, observe it and do it. But then listen to this. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and they do not. I'm calling them out. I'm a real man. I'm for God. Do you need that justice volume on here? No. I'm a real man, and I'm doing God's work. And I'm telling you that they'll say one thing and do another. Don't you do like them. They are not the kind of people that my Father appreciates. They can tell you what the Word of God say. They can tell you what is right in judgment, but they won't do it. They got two kinds of lifestyle. They got a lifestyle that they say with their mouth, and they got another one that they live. Don't live like them, because they're wicked. Because they're ungodly. I already told you to beware of the living of the Pharisees. That's why when Jesus was able to tell the people in Matthew 11, he says, go tell John. When John wanted to know if Jesus was the truth, you go tell John what you both hear and see. We're going to call ourselves the children of God. If we're going to call ourselves ministers of God, people should be able to look at what we do. It shouldn't be that all we can do is get up here and pontificate and disseminate and articulate God's word and have it all pretty and laid out. And then they look at our life and we're a big hypocrite. We're a big dummy. And then what Fred Sanford called it, Daddy, a big dummy? What is a big dummy, Tim? It's somebody that know better and won't. It's like you know your car skipping. You know it's low on oil, but you're going to wait till the end of the week when you get your check to put oil in it. That's a big dummy. Because there's something that's about to happen that's bad. And you don't even have the gumption to deal with it now. These men can tell you of God's warning, tell you of God's precepts, and won't do themselves. Jesus said, don't be like them. Don't do it. He ain't even got started good yet, y'all. But in one sense, he gave a summation of what he's getting ready to say. Oh, let's walk with this. You all, as you all look at this, see if this is the same kind of Jesus that you heard about. It's not the one I heard about. This is the one I really like. What do they do, Jesus? He's going to enumerate. For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. You know, I could read up through and get more of the juice, but this right here by itself is so self-contained. This is like somebody going out there binding up a bunch of trees or binding up bales of wheat. Now notice, they bind them. They bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and what do? They put them on somebody else's shoulders. But they themselves will not lift. Take one finger and lift it up. They give them all kind of rules and regulations that they make themselves exempt from. Do you anybody know what I'm talking about? When you got a group of religious people that can make rules, books of rules, pages of rules for you to follow and you to do, and you jump through the hoops so that they'll be pleased with you, but they themselves are exempt from it. Remind me of Congress. Remind me of the Senate. Remind me of the president. Remind me of people that sometimes are in law enforcement and they're in the highest position. Remind me of the position you might be in as a cop. Certain things you might be able to get away that I can't get away with. And then you give me a ticket for doing it. Yeah. I've seen cops do things that I get a ticket for. But they don't have to obey it. Not all the time. But here the Pharisees. That's why I say next week when we review chapter 15, it's going to fit so beautifully well. He said they make all these rules and these regulations for people to do, and they themselves won't do one. And Jesus is calling them out on it. Look at let's think of this. Did you notice he said that burden is heavy? What did Jesus say his was like? My burden is, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find rest to your soul. There's no rest in a grievous burden. Believe that, saints. If you got a grievous burden put on you that you don't have to have from somebody else, that you think you got to please, and they keep changing the rules to get to God, they will wear you out. It'll always be something to let you know that they're in control over you. Verse number 5. But all. That's a strong word. I can't even get away with that with my wife. If I say "and" all the time or every time, she said, not every time. I used to say every. Now, can you tell me every time? Or all? No. But you did it two times. But two is not all. But look at Jesus. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and in the greeting in the marketplace to be called of men, Rabbi! Rabbi! Yes, child. Oh, this Jesus said they loved that and said, be ye not called Rabbi, but one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Oh, we need to unravel that, because it's so doggone pretty. Verse number five says, all their works. That's an amazing statement. You know, I would like to try to soften it, but I prayed to God that I would not soften anything that he said. Wouldn't it be tempting to say, well, not all of them, you know, most of them, or many of them. He said all. He was there. I wasn't. The Bible said he knew what was in the heart of men in John chapter 2, verse 23, 24, and 5. He says, all their works they do to be seen of men. Now, somebody might say, Tim, all Pharisees weren't wicked. Look at Nicodemus. He's talking about a specific group and a specific ones, and the people that were there knew who he was talking about. And I submit to you, they were guilty if he said they were guilty. He says, all the works they do to be seen of men. Men. They want to be seen. They want to be Rev, apostle, bishop. I know the word is apostle, but they want to be apostle. They want to have all these titles. They want to be somebody. In the black community, sometimes if you don't get a doctorate degree or something like that, you get a Rev title, and then you can be on TV and somebody treats you like you're important. You get to get a reverend title, you can be what they call an activist. And then they get on there and let you speak for the black people. I don't even want to go there. And it says, all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. You see, they have those things that they could put. They put scriptures in. And some of them would put the scriptures in a little thing and they put it on their arm. They had another on the front that they put on their head. And in the script, they would have scriptures sometimes, maybe part of the Ten Commandments or such. And they would make them broad so people could see them. So that you would know that I'm spiritual. So that you would know that I'm a man of God. I grew up hearing it called manned, M-A-N-D, a man of God. I see people now, they walk around with their reverend clergy collar on. Real people don't care. Teenagers don't care. When they about these young men age right here, they probably want you to leave. They're not going to give you any special props. You hadn't earned it. But it says, and they enlarged the borders of their garments. God had given them different things that they're supposed to put the little tassels at the end of their garment. And it's called a tzitzit. And when they would say they touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that's what they touched. But the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus said, they made theirs bigger. It could be seen, because it's supposed to remind you of God. And we remember God more than you all. We remember the word more than you all. And remember now, Jesus had just said these people that are like that, they don't do what they say. Okay? Verse number 6. And they love the uppermost room and feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. When they go to a dinner, when they go to a feast, we want the number one place. We want the head table. We want the best table in the house. Nobody as good as us. We want to be treated like we the king, K-I-N-G, or the king, whatever neighborhood you're in. We want the best seat. Don't just let me sit down there with the peons. We want the uppermost. We want the, didn't he say it? The word uppermost, the top and the best at the feast. And the chief seat in the synagogue, like the we'd have rulers of the synagogue. And from what I understand, they would try to jockey to be able to get that best seat so that when the people come into the synagogue, you can be seen. I'm the one. You see, it's not like necessarily a signed seat, but it's like we in the synagogue or something, and Rich and I and Daddy and Gary And D, we try to get there first. So we fighting over the best seat so that when people come in, they can see us sitting there with our broad phylacteries and our broad frontlets and the big tassels so they can see us sitting there righteous in the sight of God. Really, it's the sight of men. And Jesus doesn't like it. And he says, and greetings in the marketplace to be called Rabbi. Rabbi. Do you understand when the Hebrews doubled something that meant it was supposed, it's the same thing as saying, in some ways, the most reverend? Do you understand that this is for emphasis? It's like, blessed Rabbi, 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 great Rabbi, honored Rabbi. And so they love it. I meet people and you ask them what's their name. I'm evangelist so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm the reverend so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm bishop so-and-so, so-and-so. It's like, what was your name? Suppose I don't believe in your religion. What's your name? Well, I'm prophet so-and-so and so. And I know good and well, I'm the kind of person to say, is it a big one or a little one? Big one or a little one? Prophet. You say you're about prophet, right? Because I'm going to change the P-R-O-F-I-T. He said they love to be called. Jill, did you understand what I meant? See, when you making a lot of money off of something and you didn't put much money in, that's profit. If you spend $10, you make $30. That means your profit is $20. So if you teaching and you're not teaching God's word, every dollar that you get is profit. Usually, especially if you didn't give anything. So you go out and you fool the people and you got them thinking you're something and you're not. And they're giving you money. And this pastor is going to talk about they get money off of people. That's a profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. But sometimes I meet people that they tell me they're a prophet. Like they can speak into my life. They can tell me the future. God told them something to tell me. And it's usually against his word. So when they tell me they're a prophet, like they can prophesy, in my mind I start thinking you're trying to profit and make some money, and I'm not with it. And so Jesus said, they love to be called that. And he said, don't you be called that. That didn't mean you couldn't be called a teacher. That didn't mean you could not be called a rabbi. But neither one of you should be called in the position that you are above the other one. And he said, what you do is you all understand I'm the one. And all you all are brethren. You're equal. You're equal. But when you get caught up on titles so strongly, and you feel like this person is so great because he got his title, where he get his title? School? Seminary? Somebody that liked him gave it to him? He inherited it? He kissed somebody's bottom? What did he do? How did he get it? Somebody liked him? Had a trial sermon? And now he's somebody great? He stand up on one leg? He can go, ha, when he talk, ha, ha. D call him an asthma preacher. Jesus said, your brethren. And I think that's what he said. That's what it is. But be ye not called rabbi. One is your master, even Christ, and your brethren. One is your teacher. Even Christ. And isn't that the same thing like when we went through the other one when we were talking about when he gave the food? He gave the food and they all disseminated it. Neither one of them was greater than the other one in handing out the food because the food came from one source. Then the same thing. One is your teacher. You're getting your teacher from one source. It's not yours, Paul. It's not yours, Barnabas. It's not yours, Peter. It's not yours, Rich. It's not yours, Gary. It's not yours, Barry, Tim, and whoever. It's Jesus's. If it's right, we'll be just brothers. Even Ann would be a brother. It's in the brotherhood of man. The young people look at me like, whoa, what you trying to say? It's the brotherhood of mankind. That's what I'm saying. Look at the next verse. And call no man father, which is on the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And call nobody in the religious sense your father. I'm your father. You got one person that's your ultimate father. That is God. It is not the papa or the pope, which means father. When Paul said that he had begotten them through God, it's God is the Father. I begot you through God. You're God's. You're not mine. Nobody is your father in essence in the gospel. Somebody might bring you to God. Somebody might bring you to him. But you got to be begotten of God. Don't be giving people these high accolade titles. That they all of that.
I can't believe in the fivefold ministry.
That's what I hear. The fivefold. You know what they like? Do you know what they like? The fivefold ministry. They look at me like. They found something new. God, I used to memorize Ephesians as a boy. I was old as D. But it never said this is the fivefold ministry. Somebody went in and counted. And they put fold to it. Now, if you don't know how to say it this way, oh, you don't know the Bible. And I submit to you that the pastor teacher is more than likely one office. How you going to pastor and not teach? Because the pastor's supposed to feed the flock. Another issue. But he says, basically, one is your father. And if you read Paul saying that he begot them, and you can have many instructors in Christ. That's what we went through last week in Corinthians 4. And he says, you have one father, and he's saying it is himself. If you don't keep the context of what Jesus is saying here, it doesn't seem like Paul contradicted Jesus. It would really seem like that, wouldn't it? But Paul is not taking the credit of being their father in the gospel, but insofar as your instructors who actually brought you to Christ, who actually came here to Macedonia and taught you, and you're going to let some knuckleheads that don't really know the word of God persuade you that I don't know what I'm talking about, and you didn't even know about God until I came? I'm your father in the gospel that way, but you don't see him turn around and call me Father. Father Paul. Father. Because if that was the case, why would they have had the issue in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians, I'm saying, I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm a Cephas, I'm of Apollos, if he had trained them to be that way. Let's get back to the text. And it says, verse number 10, neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. Now, this right here would be enough to let you know, for him to say that what he don't like about the people, and he's actually trying to get them to the place where you all are on equal plane, you're under me, that these Pharisees and these scribes must really have done things to elevate themselves so much so around the community and around the people that it's like, this is enough of this. I'm in my last week here on the earth, and before I die, I'm going to give y'all some. And you all know I know what I'm talking about. It's almost like you get a group of people together that's talking about something that they do at work. It doesn't matter if you don't understand, if you don't work there, they know. And it's like, you all know what I'm talking about. 11 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Don't be like these people that want honor and praise from men and that jockey for high position, that love to be called by the greatest title. If you want to be great, serve. 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 Find your way to help somebody. Find your way to serve. Quit being like a child. Quit being like a baby. Baby serves nobody. Get served. Get his bottom washed. Get a bottle put in his mouth. Get powder on his bottom. Get picked up. Get rubbed. Get hugged. Somebody, but get kissed and all of that. And we act like that's what we need. Somebody, the greatest, the parent is the one that does all of that. Why? I'm in the greater position. I'm in the position to serve you because I have the strength. I have the knowledge. I have the wherewithal. And you are dependent. I'm taking care of you. Jesus is saying, if you're going to be great in my kingdom, then get busy. Get busy helping somebody. Get busy binding some wounds. Get busy feeding people my word. Get busy bringing peace into the land. Get busy doing what I did. Don't be walking around being called something, saying a whole lot with your mouth, but there's no backup. You don't live it. And everybody that know you don't do it. Because I can tell a whole multitude, and I don't even have to call your name. I just call who you all are, and they know who you are. Next verse, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Jesus is saying, and I believe this is to the disciples, and he's saying it right in front of everybody. He just got through telling you, my disciples, don't be that way, right? Now, why would you think all of a sudden that he's not talking to them now when he said, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased? Because he already had the issue with them before. Mm-hmm. Which one of them won't be the greatest? Whoever exalts himself shall be abased. Lift yourself up if you want to, you're going to be brought down low. It didn't just say it's going to happen. That verb's strong. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. But look at this other part. But he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to serve. We want people to honor us, recognize us, recognize me, give me honor. And that's what you want? In this world, some fools that'll give it to you. But I'm going to do everything in my power not to give it to you. I'm going to try to avoid calling you reverend. I'm going to try to avoid calling you your bishop or apostle. I'm going to try to find another way to say your name that you call yourself. If I can't get around it, I'll call you that, but it'll still be maybe some gravel in my throat. First number, then it'll be tokenism, because that's what everybody call you. But it won't be because I have a special respect for you as this person that you have labeled yourself to be. I give you a case of my life, Reverend Jesse Jackson. I don't honor him as a person that's supposed to be the reverend or revered. That's what reverend would mean, the revered. I don't revere him. I don't do that. And many others I can name, but I just threw him out there because I don't mind who hear me say it. The next verse, the 13th verse says, but woe. There are going to be seven woes in here, saints. Woe means dread. Woe means sorrow. And now he's gone through his disciples. Can you tell he's just changed gears? Can you see that he's talking to somebody else now, primarily? He's told his disciples what not to do. But then he says, but woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees, hypocrites! Rich, do you have that kind of ability to talk like that to somebody when they're being that way? Gary, do you? Or would you be oh, Jesus. Andy, do you have it? Do you have it, Goon? That you can tell somebody, you're a hypocrite. Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Is this the Jesus that you read about growing up? It's not your mama's Jesus right here. Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Look at what he says. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. What does he mean? You put yourself in the position of a teacher. You put yourself in the position of knowing God's word. You sit in Moses' seat making judgments. And what you do, you don't do what God say. So what you do with your lifestyle, you don't even allow people to learn the word of God. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Why? Because you scribe Pharisees and hypocrites, you wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't listen to what I said. You tried to find fault with me. You tried to entrap me with words. You're looking about ways to try to kill me. You're trying to make me look good, bad before the people. But you're supposed to be the ones that's so close to God with your broad phylacteries, with your broad things on the end of your tzitzit. And you shut up the kingdom of heaven. You won't let those that want to believe me believe, and you won't enter in yourself. Woe unto you. Woe to any man that call himself go teach the word of God and don't live it. Woe to that kind of man that will teach a half truth or teach the full truth and don't live it because people look at what you do. Woe to somebody that you won't enter into the subjection and under the rule of what God has for you to do and you still teaching. Woe because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against those that would, because often when people give you enough respect to listen to you, without saying it or not, they expect something, and to a great extent, they follow you. You think I'm going to live a wicked life in front of these young men? You think they don't see everything I do? You think they not like Santa Claus see me when I'm sleeping? Know when I'm awake? Don't you think they know when I've been bad or good? You don't think they talk about me when I'm not around? Please. They know stuff about me I don't know they know. I knew stuff about my parents they didn't know I know. I didn't tell them everything I saw or thought. A lot of it was wrong. But I still thought it. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against those that would in yourself. Are any of us guilty of that? We can talk a God talk, but if we were to ask our family,